Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. Well, today we get to talk about one of our favorite topics, leadership. We're just going to talk about some of the things we know to be true about leaders, the problems they face, and the things that we're doing at Living Wholehearted to really help meet the needs of leaders. And we have with us one of our executive coaches and teammates, Connie Armerding. Welcome, Connie.
Hey, Connie.
Good to be here.
Well, start by first just telling people about who you are and a little bit about your expertise and the stage of life you're in, and so they get to know you a little bit too.
Yeah, well, my name's Connie, and I'm part of the Living Wholehearted team, and I am really passionate about helping leaders just navigate all the various areas of their life to work and to be a wholehearted leader, to be integrated. I am a wife and a mom, and I am a professional, and we're in a really busy season. So understanding there's lots of different facets. And so that wherever we go, there we are, that we need to be the best version of ourselves to the people that matter the most to us is something we say often at Living Wholehearted, and just working to be the same person in all the spaces we're in, and to have that be just a person of integrity. So I'm passionate about that in my own life, and it is a gift to be able to do this work, to walk us alongside leaders as they're navigating this real time.
Thanks, Connie. Well, I'll tell you a few things about her. She is a writer. You can find some of her writings and links even on her bio on our website and on her website. But she's a beautiful storyteller and passionate about people's stories. But she also has just a wide variety of backdrop, which really helps the leaders she comes alongside, whether that's been planting a church and being a part of nonprofit and the growth of developing that all the way over to the marketplace. And it's just been fun to get to partner with you, Connie.
Connie, remind us of what your graduate degree is.
I am a Wheaton grad, Wheaton alumni. Woo-hoo. From Wheaton College. So I did my undergrad in interpersonal communication, and then my graduate work in leadership and evangelism.
That's it. Yeah. All right. So
yeah.
She's amazing. All right.
Yeah.
Go Thunder.
Pretty smart gal. Okay. So one of the things, Connie and I have been able to do some of these women cohorts together, and we do work with men, but we really are passionate about helping women, particularly those who follow Jesus, because many of those leaders don't get the same resources that the men get. We're working towards that over the years, but we want to come in and equip women. And we also have a unique set of voices that we face as women in leadership. So we'll talk about that more, Connie, and maybe be able to shape that. Jeff, why don't you share a little bit about your expertise and your backdrop? Most of the time, people don't hear.
Okay. Wow. Hi, I'm Jeff. Co-founder, co-owner of Living Wholehearted. I'm a recovering perfectionist.
Yeah.
All right. So like a lot of our leaders and our clients, leaders are a particular type, right? And so that comes out of our stories. In my backdrop, come out kind of a high-performing family system. There was a lot of trauma. And there is a lot of trauma in leaders' stories, and even just leadership in and of itself, we'll talk about this, is dramatic. Mm-hmm. And when I say that to clients or prospective clients, they're like, yes.
Like, thank you.
And many times they just are realizing that that word summarizes how they feel. Now they need to unpack it, and we do that with them. But yeah, I'm passionate about people and helping people experience their potential. This is an early call in my life. I was in high school and I got that kind of clarity, which I was thankful for. It came early. And I've been wanting to try to work that ever since. So fast forward to today, I've got a graduate degree from Gonzaga in organizational leadership. And that has just been a tool or a gateway to be able to have access to leaders, right? I speak of, there's wonderful things about getting an education in higher ed. But the real value for me was that it created an invitation and an open door to the type of leaders that also have those expectations about who they work with. And so knowing that is why I did that, why we did that, right? Because it wasn't just me that went to this to do this schooling. We put you through first, mm-hmm. but it was also a huge commitment for our family. I was a young family at that time when we were doing that. So, you know, we have got street credibility, I would say, all of us. We're raising kids. We all have teenagers. You have not just all teenagers. You have one that's not a teenager yet. But it is
a tweener.
Yeah,
tweener.
Yeah, it is all hands on deck, right? Partnering with your awesome husband. We're partnering together here to try to live these values that we preach. And we're learning along the way and then sharing the things that we're learning. And mm-hmm. so I would just say that that's been a real commitment and a desire. And it's challenging to actually have to remember podcasts like this, where we talk about certain things, and to live that, right? Integrity is a way of being. It's not an event. It's not like something that you can purchase as a bumper sticker or a t-shirt and say, now I have integrity. It's a lifestyle. It's of continual choosing. And I think that that's helpful for people to realize that this is something that we pursue over our whole lives. And sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, that gap we call the integrity gap grows, and we're wanting to shrink that. And so there's an ebb and a flow. Hopefully over the arc of our lives, we are living with greater congruency, mm-hmm. and we're doing that in relationship. So I guess there's my little soapbox.
There's yours. Yeah, you are passionate about all those. Well, I'm the odd one out here in that I'm trained in the mental health field as a licensed marriage family therapist. But most of my clients in the last 20 years have been high capacity leaders, and then also a passion for helping leaders in the home. So recognizing that if you have a following, you are a leader. So we do a lot of parent coaching. Yeah. We do marriage work. We really family are believing systems. That your family system is really a piece of your leadership. So that is something that Connie, Jeff, and I and our other coaches, we bring to the table. A lot of times our leaders are coming because of their professional work, but they find that really the greatest struggle is what's happening at home and when they're laying their mm-hmm. head down on their pillow at night. So let's talk about our leaders mm-hmm. and some of the things that we hear from our clients are the greatest struggles today. It's 2023.
Praise God.
Yeah.
It's 2023. I'm just saying. Anybody else out there feel that too?
Okay. It's the end of. It's going to be 2024. Will you be okay with 24?
I'm already thinking about the Olympics. Just okay, anything okay. positive, anything right. hopeful.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a doozy of a year, Connie, huh?
last yes. couple okay. few.
Yeah. And I think we hear that from our leaders too. We all feel that. Mm-hmm. But what are some of the voices and the problems that you hear your clients facing these days, Connie?
Specifically with the female leaders I'm working with, I think there's a battle of where do I fit when I'm a mom and I'm talking with my neighbors who are other moms. How do I connect? And then where, you know, when I'm in the professional world, just. I think the voices, whether they're real or perceived, I don't know that they're actually words mm-hmm. that are said, but whether it's an accurate perception of feeling like I can't be all the things in all the places. And then letting that narrative dominate how they enter a room, mm-hmm. Not being comfortable in their own unique wiring and their own unique skin, the way that they are a leader and the way that they've been designed. And that is the gift that they bring, and understanding that it's going to be very different than the person next to us. But I think comparison is something that is in the room often. So being able to just give voice to those things, I think there's so many things that happen in between our ears that we don't name. And then they just are on loop and they cycle back and forth. And then it becomes our reality in our mind when that might not be the reality mm-hmm. Around us. And so as I sit with these specific female clients who are in leadership roles and really can get stuck in that loop, just to pull out those thoughts, to be able to have someone else sit with them and explore them and be curious, is this real? Is this true? And if it is true, what are we going to do about it? Or maybe it's not true. So let's change our mindset.
Yeah.
So that's something I feel like I bump up into a lot in my own life. I mean, I can that resonates with me. But then sitting with leaders as they're navigating these things and just putting words to what's going on inside and the mental load and the chaos that ensues because of it.
I love that, Connie. And it reminds me of another problem that the leaders hold is that they're thinking these things and feeling these things, but they don't often have a place to be honest about those voices. And that is one of the places that is a problem for many leaders. The higher up you go, the more confidential you hold things, the more people have perceptions of you and put you in boxes. And there's that challenge of who do I, I'm the same person in all the places, or hopefully I am. And who do I let in to that inner world? And then not having a sounding board for that, those voices grow and they have greater impact and leak in weird, funky ways if we don't have a safe, trusted voice to really help us know what we're thinking, what we're feeling, and then where did that start? And do we want to keep it or do we want to get rid of it? Is it no longer serving me? So I love that.
Yeah, so this is just symbolic of really of what we're about at Living Wholehearted with leaders. And this is, we talk about helping them with the people issues that keep them up at night. And sometimes they're the people issue, right?
Sometimes.
And and so that's like our unique niche, if you will, for like organizational work, coaching in this space. It's just the people side and helping leaders in that space. And one of the things that's just been a recurrence of theme for me and my clients that I'm working with is just order of life. And so many are just, they just describe the their day as one fire after another that they're putting out. And they've lost perspective on the time and where they spend their time. The day goes fast or it goes really, really slow, but there's just, and they have nothing left in the tank to come home to give. What we would say, as you alluded to, Connie, is just like trying to save some of the best for those you love the most. And they're struggling. They want to do it differently. It's cognitive. They're like, I know I need to, I should. And we're trying to help them get away from that space of should to actually reorder and prioritize and provide frameworks for them to be able to experience more of that congruency. But it's so common that how difficult it is. And, you know, you, even what you said, Connie, actually really as a male listening to this, I'm mindful of the fact that I remember when Tara was sharing with me some book about differences between men and women, and women are like spaghetti. I think,
oh, this is a long time ago.
I think this is right. Yeah, right?
It's an old school everything, book.
Everything's connected. And I'm just remembering this right now in the moment. And men, generally speaking, and these are generalizations, right? There's exceptions to all
this.
It's
based on our neuroscience.
Men generally are able to, or just tend to compartmentalize. And there's some strengths and minuses
like
to
waffles.
All of this. Okay, there we go.
You're only in
Shout
one
out
waffle.
To the author of Spaghetti and Waffles, whatever it is. Okay.
I think it's Mars versus Venus.
But just as a guy listening to that and listening to you share about the mind space, I would just say, gosh, whatever we can do. Yes. Thank you for helping women not to compartmentalize, not to become like guys in this way. We want you to be who you are and to be able to uniquely show up and be more congruent. And you, in many ways, women teach men how to do this and healthier. Like I remember in grad school, speaking of grad school, because we asked about our grad experiences, I remember reading a book about women in the workplace who were the leaders, women in leadership. They ran organizations, and there were case studies after case studies about how they were leading these organizations that had a totally different flavor as to how corporate worked, and they were successful case studies. And it was just like, oh, this is really cool. And I've had strong women in my life, so I appreciate the fact that there's giftedness there and there's that. But the way and approach. So just as a guy, hearing what you shared, it was like, oh my gosh, yes, please, ladies, do not become more compartmentalized like your corporate male counterparts. That's not the answer.
Yeah. And I think what you're alluding to is women actually are more collaborative.
Yeah.
So we 100%. Tend to, again, that spaghetti piece is, yeah, research is showing based, doesn't matter on your wiring as much as it is about the female male difference, and mm-hmm. they see women being more collaborative in their leadership.
There's huge
democracy.
Strength.
We want to have a little more team effort. Whereas yeah. there's a more hierarchical type of leadership coming from traditional male. But I think that's shifting over time with the cultural awareness. And we are just trying to help leaders be more aware what kind of leader they are
yeah.
and not have to fit any sort of cultural norms, but saying, this is your fingerprint because of your story, because of your wiring that we use the core values index, and because of your particular call and passions, that you're the only leader out there like you. So we need to help you live in congruency with who you are in the design, and that'll create less stress, more relief, more margin, and less pull from all the expectations and voices of others. Connie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, what's coming to mind is just as we try to figure out our unique lane as a leader, there's so many great examples out there, but we're not, like to your point, Tara, we're not them. So or we're all unique. But when we put on someone else's suit, so to speak, mm-hmm. and we try to step into the way that they've done something, even if it's been excellent, it lacks an authenticity. So it makes me think about, you know, our right brains. When someone, we can be in an interaction with someone and everything looks right and sounds right, but something doesn't feel right. And just that we can experience that with someone when they're doing something that's not mm-hmm. Fully integrated to the gift that they are. And so I think there is this understanding of to step into your own skin and to embrace that, to embrace all of the gifts that you are, that is a unique fingerprint from the person next to you. And then to be excellent in that, to fulfill your potential there. Because I'm so grateful for leaders who model things for us, but we're not going to do it exactly the same. We can glean and we can take some things that do fit our unique personality and our wiring and that feels authentic. But when we try to just take something and cut and paste it, even if we're working so hard, even if we're crossing every T and dotting every I and are so committed to excellence, it still doesn't work. So this process of really stepping into your own leadership style, embracing that and knowing that is the greatest gift you can give people around you. And they feel that on every level, not just in what you're saying and how you're showing up, but just that you're telling the truth with your whole self. Mm,
so good. And that is another way we are coming at the integrity piece, is not trying to be what others want you to be or what you think you should be, or what the previous president was, or the previous pastor, but being able to open up and say, this is me and my call, and I'm going to do it a little different. I think none of us know what that is without the help of others. So going to Dr. Kurt Thompson and Dr. Siegel and some of the research, and even the play therapy child development research, we discover who we are by the reflection of other people in our lives. We cannot go out and travel the world all by ourselves to discover who we are. And we've all heard somebody say that, I'm going to take a year off and go figure out who I am, without the connection of our community and without the connection of knowing somebody else who's giving us feedback and saying, I see this in you. And even mirroring back some of the blind spots, the things that we think we're good at or we think we're bad at, and somebody else helping us to see a little bit more clearly in the mirror. And that is part of God's design. It's part of human development. And often leaders are lonely in their venture because of two things. They're too busy. They're too busy. And they're also a little afraid. It's like going to the principal's office. Like I'm not sure what you're going to say. And but I think we hear that most often is leaders are nervous to get into this process because they're like, I don't know what you're going to mess with. And honestly, healthy leaders always have somebody in their life who's helping them see themselves more clearly for the sake of all those that are following you.
And we provide an environment for them that is safe.
And grace-filled.
We're not attached to their livelihoods and or the people that mm-hmm. they have to see in their workspace every day or report to, for example. There's no strings attached essentially to their livelihood, which allows them to be able to unpack and unload. And in a highly confidential mm-hmm. space, and we steward that trust, they get a chance to just breathe a little mm-hmm. bit more and unpack and sort through. And And that is, that's the service that we provide as we walk alongside them and to help them grow in their ability to be more of the leader that they, God had intended for them. And then to hopefully grow in health and wholeness in that, that will impact the systems that are beneath them or around them that they oversee mm-hmm. and that are impacted by them. And yeah, so we're one leader at a time here. We're just trying to make a dent in this, creating more healthy systems, God willing, as we get to engage them, as we hear their story and help them understand their wiring and point them to what is healthy.
Yeah. So I want us to get a little deeper into some practical stories. So I want you both to think about someone or a situation or an org where there was some awareness by your coaching and some help. But before we go there, I'm going to just offer another problem that I see often is the dual relationships, the not know him. So the nepotism of being related to everyone, or there's a lot of relationships, especially in church and nonprofit ministries, but even in family businesses, that can get really confusing fast. I just sat with a leadership team from a local church as we were talking about how to handle some integrity gaps of a previous pastor. And so many of those dual relationships that are entangled and they're not sure who do I say this to, who I don't say this to, mm-hmm. because the Thanksgiving dinner table and my Sunday morning church family is all intertwined with my job. And so it's a little trickier for ministry leaders, those in the church, than the business world. But it is something that we have a common struggle that we hear quite a bit from leaders. And how do we untangle what is healthy and what is not healthy, and where boundaries need to be put in place? So that's another problem that I'm throwing out that we hear from our leaders that we help with. We help them untangle and to get clearer along the way. Can you think of a story, Connie, of a client of yours where she has experienced some intentional growth that can give us some tangible examples?
Yeah. So a couple things come to mind. Just I like that you have the buckets of a ministry context versus corporate world, because there's similarities, but there are clear differences. So in a ministry context, this growth curve of stepping into a role that is set for her that she's qualified for and is executing, but because of all the dual relationships, the leadership structure and the reporting structure kind of got, you know, just maybe intertwined. So the clarity to say the position is not based on who's in it. The position has a flow chart. It has really specific things. It has reports and a way of doing things, and that you don't overlay, you're able to pull apart those dual relationships of, knowing who someone is and who they're connected to and how they're invested in relationships within the community is separate than the job they're called to do. And then just giving language and speaking to working to clarify those lanes so that there's not, the enmeshment or the entanglement that can tend to happen. And then as a female leader, oftentimes a growth opportunity is to use your voice and to say, I'm capable of this. And I have more than enough qualifications to do this thing and to really separate. Again, it's not about gender, or it's about the job. Am I the right person for the job? If I'm the right person for the job, then this is what this looks like. And just having there be clear distinctions on a leadership lane, and then also using your voice to communicate what is seen clearly and to step into the full authority of the position that's been given to you.
Yeah. Using your voice is a key piece, finding what it is that I think, what I feel, what I need, what I want. And then actually acting on that is a huge piece, particularly for female leaders, mm-hmm. but there are even emerging leaders, male, female, that are growing in that place, depending on their backdrop. If you grew up in an environment or have worked in an environment where your voice wasn't valued, that gets even mm-hmm. scarier for you. So, Jeff, what about mm-hmm. you? What's an example from your work and clients where you've seen some intentional growth from an entering problem, presenting issue, to some of the ways that you saw that growth happen?
Yeah. One of my clients, I guess one thing that comes to my mind is just that they were struggling where there was a culture of triangulation And they were recognizing in a subset of the organization a pattern that was emerging. And they didn't see that initially. They just came in with the presenting challenges. It became clear that as we began to add the other voices into the equation, that's exactly what was going on. And through the process of bringing the right people into the room and letting them hear one another, and then facilitating basically the clarity about this triangulation that was beginning to impact and spread, actually, that they were able to identify that this is some commitments we need to make within this small circle here to keep content here within this circle and to not to go to other circles outside of that. And so they made a commitment to each other and they honored that. And it actually began to that example, because it included one of the people at the top of the org chart, began to be utilized in other situations where they could begin to see that that was there, and they championed that cause going forward. So it was helpful. It was just a small example of just what it looks like to go from some unhealth to organizational health. And I was privileged to be able to help them to see that. Sometimes you can't really see that when you're in it, right? You need somebody outside, right? And that's where coaching can be so helpful. Is to be able to get some of that probing and to look.
So did you help facilitate that, which is something we do, or was this something where you helped that client be ready for that meeting and they facilitated?
It was both, yeah. So I helped facilitate that with the clients in the small subset circle, and then they took that into their organization, that when they would see other patterns that mirrored triangulation and knew how to address it.
I love it. So we're really helping, again, with the relational health, with your relationship with God, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your family, your relationship with your most immediate teams, and then hopefully the whole system beneath you and the places that you're called to leadership are also being affected. We're trying to help move towards health and wholeness, and rather than toxic, unhealthy patterns that we just get too tired to want to deal with, or we don't know how to deal with. And so we're coming in and helping. I had one client who, again, they are at the top of their org chart. They are dealing and helping with global world issues with poverty and orphans. And the weight of the work that they do is enormous emotionally, as well as just the amount in the midst of urgent needs. They're right there. So in the process of our leadership work, she had been realizing that in 20-something years, she had never taken a sabbatical, and that her entire organization didn't even have any sort of way to take a break and to relieve and to make sure that their staff was cared for as people, not just, employees. So we've been working together for her practicing rhythms of rest and rhythms of finding her own humanity in the midst of this superwoman type work that she does. And it's been incredible to see the ripple effect for it with every aspect of her adult children, her marriage, her entire staff, and the work that's going to be happening for their organization moving forward, as the board and the leadership team is seeing the fruit from her own life and making sure that the rest of their staff is going to have access to this. So we're working on policies and how to make this realistic, and what happens when you do take a break, when you're at a high level position, who takes care of that, and how we don't burn out anybody else. But there is a lot of ways that we come alongside our clients to meet their unique challenges. Mm-hmm. And one of our favorite ways is through our wholehearted leadership cohorts. Now, Connie, why do you like the cohorts? What have you seen happening through these cohorts as you've watched this process happen with an intentional wraparound of one-to-one coaching, group sessions, and our retreats?
It's a joy and a privilege to see clients kind of unwrap this gift of bringing in a trusted voice one-to-one, working through their story, really putting voice to the things that they maybe shouldn't have in these other contexts, to really come to terms with those things, and then to surround it with other leaders who are on the same journey, other high capacity leaders who are ready to do this work. Often, as leaders step in to do this work, it's always transformational. But sometimes it's lonely because the people around you aren't growing at the same level. And so I would say this cohort is this beautiful, safe container to journey alongside the transformation that God is inviting each leader to individually, but then to do it collectively, and that they get to learn from other people. They get to see that they're not alone. They get to be encouraged by other leaders who are doing the same work, who are invested, and who are going to be in their lives from this point on. I don't know to what capacity. Some relationships go really deep and some are together for a season, but there is relationships that are established, and there is a community of people who are growing together, who are learning together, who are testifying to this transformative work. And it just reaps a beautiful harvest. So it's transformational to watch it and to be part of it, to see what happens in the room. And it's really hard to put language to it specifically, but it is really beautiful for people who are making the personal investment. And then at the same time, they're coming together with others who are ready to make that investment. And then something beautiful grows.
Hmm. Yeah. I would just say that you mentioned story, and we ask leaders to share and prepare their story to share. We know that in doing that with one another and hearing and sharing, it's impacting their neuroscience, right? It's impacting their brain wiring, and it's helping to help them to integrate more, right? Which is the whole purpose. Why do we look back? We look back so that we make sure that there's nothing in the past that's impacting the present in a negative way, or that would impact the future if we left it unchanged, right? And so in this container, I love this little word of the container. It kind of is like this this little special time of a cohort, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, God is drawing people to these things, and then we get to help be a part of this experience and to bear witness to this and to help provide a framework for them to share their story. And then we take them deep into their wiring to understand how wiring impacts everything and their ability to live more authentically, and also to lead and to notice others in their mm-hmm. space, and how wiring and the impact that we have on one another, so that we can help them with their relationships all around, at home, at work, and in the community. So it is a privilege. We utilize resources and equip them with skills, and it's fun to see the light bulbs go off over and over and over again. The purpose is at the end of this is that people are living and leading more from a holistic, from a place of congruency, integrity. And that is going to impact the systems that they represent, right? Mm-hmm. If they're healthier, mm-hmm. it's not a guarantee, but that the others that are around them and underneath them in their leadership hopefully have a better chance of experiencing health.
I love it. I'm going to let you two end with a word of encouragement. But before I do that, I want to share with some of you about what others are saying that have gone through the cohort. I actually had a client reach out and say, you know what, I really want to do this cohort, but I've done a lot of cohorts. And so I'm like, I don't know, what's the difference? And we hear over and over those that have done other leadership type cohorts, the integration work is very different. And here's why. It's the length of time. We're taking from a trauma-informed mental health, understanding how change actually happens, also with spiritual formation, knowing that a slow and steady drip is actually going to create long-lasting change. Anything fast is actually going to just be quick, but it won't stay. It's like a rubber band. It'll bounce right back. So we hold the tension for at least a year in our women's and men's cohorts, and then 2 years in our co-ed cohorts, where couples can come in or individuals can come in, but you're with men and women. And so that's a beautiful combination. And we are integrating mental health, leadership development, spiritual formation, and that trauma-informed aspect of leadership, knowing that we're trying to help you develop from the inside out. Yeah. So a lot of cohorts on leadership are giving you skills. We're going to give you skills, as Jeff mentioned. We give you lots of skills.
We got skills.
Thinking Napoleon Dynamite right now. Okay. We got skills.
Nunchuck skills. Okay. So
yeah, we're on a sidetrack. We might have dated ourselves there. But in terms of thinking about the holistic approach, I heard one of the leaders at the end say they recognize that who they are matters more than what they do. They entered into the cohort with their identity wrapped up in their title and in their contributions and in their productivity. And by the end, they were freed up to say, you know what, no matter what my title, no matter what my assignment, who I am is what is matters most in the greater spectrum of things. And one of the cohort members said, the Living Wholehearted Leadership Cohort tends to your soul, and it's hard to find resources like this one for leaders. It's a safe and honest environment to grow fully into who God has made you to be. And isn't that interesting? As leaders, we often don't get that space to grow. We're constantly thinking about everybody else and the demands on our plate. And so this provides margin.
And that was the CEO of a nonprofit, an NGO.
A large nonprofit, yeah. There's a lot of feedback here, but one says, this has given me time to reflect, become more self-aware as a leader, to reconnect with the Lord, myself, and my deepest motivations, and to get connected to that. This was time well spent. This group of extraordinary leaders was absolutely amazing and a tremendous gift to, and right on time, they said, right on time. The inner work takes time, and I'm thankful that this was 2 years. It was worth it. So there's many more comments here, but as we close up this podcast and you're interested in the cohort, we're going to give you a chance to apply and tell you a little bit more here at the end. So Connie, leave leaders with some word of encouragement, and Jeff, we'll give you the last one.
Yeah. My encouragement would be to invest in what you value. And I know it's difficult sometimes when, as leaders, we're looking at time or someone investing in us or an organization investing in us. But I think there is this something that just should be solidified in us to say, like, I am a resource and I'm giving to other people and I'm pouring out. And so to have a place to be poured into is not a selfish ask. It's money well spent. It's a good investment. And so just to invest in what you value across the board. And if that means you're looking ahead at your life and saying, how am I balancing all these things? Am I on track? If I look to the future, I don't want to look back with regrets and to live an integrated life and to be the best, to give the best of who I am to the people that matter the most. And if that is a challenge, to lean in, to get help in doing that, to have a safe container with other trusted people that are learning and growing together. Because these things, you can want something to happen, and then if you don't invest in it and spend the time, it's probably not going to happen. So if you can see those things and are moving towards those things, take the step to invest in what you value, invest in your leadership development and your own personal growth.
Well said, Connie.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful motivation that you just described, and another motivation. And I think it's really important that leaders, they connect to motivations that will give them the courage and the strength, the perseverance that they need to be able to continue to grow. It's the leaders that don't continue to grow but are just reacting all the time. We have to do something about these things. And there's so many options now. And at Living Wholehearted, we try to create a lot of options for people. So if you're in the thick of it and you got a free podcast, you know, we have 200 some episodes that are free that you can just connect to that in your busyness of raising littles or and perhaps at the same time also leading a whole organization. And so there's books, there's the level of investment is there's so many options that give you the chance to engage. So the cohort is a big investment, but it is so worth it as you're describing. Yeah. And we need to have, I think the healthiest leaders that I've been around and that I love to work with and see are those that are taking, they have a continual growth pattern, right? They just want to keep growing. They have a habit. It's a lifestyle of learning and of engaging and of soul care and self care, And it's not selfish. I'm so glad you said that. Actually, it's so find the motivation that you need to become a better leader so that you can empower others and you can live more whole. When leaders do that, when they actually, we say, get their baggage down to carry-on size, do that hard work, right? They are free, more free to actually help others rather than using others to get needs met in unhealthy ways. So it's totally a beautiful motivation to grow so that you can serve actually and help others, empower others. And it's worth it 100%, like you said, Connie.
Yeah. So wherever you're at in your leadership, you're worth this. And honestly, people ask, really time's probably a bigger issue for people. And it's a pretty minimal, we're all leaders, Connie, Jeff and I, we got a lot of things that are on our plate. We're not trying to overload you. So it's really, it's one group session a month. Mm-hmm. And then you get to schedule your own individual appointments. It's virtual. If you're out of Oregon, you can do in person if you're in locally in Oregon. And that's on your own time. And then we just do four retreats throughout the 2 years. And we keep the homework low. We know the transformation's happening within the relationships and in the time that you give to these. And we trust the process. This has been thought out just like a trainer who would help you get to your goals. We already have kind of this system, this vehicle in place. And then we attune it to you and your starting point. And it's done with grace. And the shame that keeps people from wanting to do this, I've heard people be like, I don't know, Tara, you guys wrote the book on integrity. I'm nervous to come and sit. And I'm like, oh, seriously, integrity is simply about being honest. And you'll even learn a lot about us coaches and the reality of our own leadership. So check it out. You can learn more at livingwholehearted.com/cohort. There'll be a link also in the show notes if you want to learn. And I would say apply. If you're interested, don't let time or money stand in your way. Just apply and let's see if you'd be a good fit for this next cohort. We do only take 10 to 12 in each cohort. So we do have to sometimes recommend another cohort or another season for you. But don't let time or money stand in your way. Apply and let's see what happens. We're so excited for what's ahead and what these cohorts are doing. You can also start with individual coaching and you can reach out to Connie, you can reach out to Jeff, you can reach out to me. We've got other coaches that are available, podcast, or you can pick up our book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap, and start there. And until next time, be the leader that you would follow.
4 by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.